He blamed the women's clubs for all this bother. Catherine Wiley had been writing to him since the start of the year. She had, he thought disapprovingly, an unusual interest in the matter. He'd done his best to put her off, but it hadn't worked. Even when Rhoda had flattered her, saying he thought it perfectly proper that your league should interest itself in reports of this type, she had failed to come on side. Increasingly, she was becoming more than an annoyance. And then there was the investigating statistician, Dr. Hoffman. Although he wrote Rhoda that nothing could be further from his mind than to raise a controversy for no purpose, his correspondence was exceedingly critical of the company. He had written to Rhoda again about Marguerite Carlo, saying she was in a truly pitiable condition. He had urged Rhoda, or a company representative, to visit her in person, but that was not going to happen. Rhoda could handle such begging letters. The company had easily seen off Bloom's request for money before, but it was Hoffman's investigation that was really troubling him. The man was planning to publish his report at the end of it, probably before the influential American Medical Association. But Rhoda failed to see how Hoffman, who was not a physician and had no specialised radium knowledge, could be permitted to do so. Rhoda had always thought that a presentation of any subject before an important medical convention was based on extensive research or investigation, or both. In his opinion, such an investigation should at least cover the United States and would hardly be complete without including Switzerland and parts of Germany and France. What was Hoffman thinking of, coming up with conclusions based only on his very brief studies in a few parts of the US? Hoffman had also visited the Radium Dial Studio in Ottawa and some dial painting plants in Long Island as part of his research. If Hoffman wanted to examine the matter fully, Rhoda thought, surely he should commit to several more years' hard work and extended international study before presenting his conclusions. But instead, Hoffman had limited himself to sending questionnaires to the doctors and dentists who had attended the women and conducting interviews with those affected. Hoffman later noted, "I heard the same story from all of them. They did the same identical work under identical conditions, and consequently, it was the same consequence." Despite the brevity of his research, he seemed determined to publish. Why? Rhoda thought in frustration. He hadn't even visited the factory. Though, to be fair, that was perhaps because Rhoda had tried to stymie his investigation. The firm had offered no assistance. Rhoda had tried to appease Hoffman, writing, "We sincerely believe that the infection you refer to is not caused by radium. If there is a common cause, I think it lies outside our plant." Yet Hoffman's study had continued. Rhoda couldn't understand his tenacity. Unbeknown to the company president, it was perhaps partly driven by the fact that even the paint's inventor now acknowledged that the girls' trouble was due to their work. In February 1925, Sabin von Suchotsky had written to Hoffman to say that the disease in question is, without doubt, an occupational disease. Rhoda sighed and turned back to his desk to read his correspondence, smoothing down his dark hair, flattened as it always was with pomade, and self-consciously adjusting his elegant bow tie. Yet his heart sank further when he saw what was before him, another letter from Miss Wiley.